What is going on, Eagles fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked in the Film Room over at the Locked on Eagles Network with me, Jody Page, and I bring you good news. I can actually talk about real football for once, not training camp reports, not anything else. It's quite good timing. Come back from holiday the day of the game. Obviously, over here in England, I don't stay up for pre-season games. Not that much of a madman. I watch it the day after. But that can be quite funny, actually, because I scroll through the timeline when I wake up first. I don't bother ignoring the score or anything. And I try and piece together what's happening. So I saw a couple of tweets about Razzle Douglas, obviously, in his interception. So I thought, oh, we had a great game. And about two tweets later, I saw someone saying Razzle Douglas is terrible. What is he doing on the field? Etc, etc. So it's always fun trying to piece together the game via Twitter. So the Eagles lost 31-14. So I think we can all agree that the season is already over. 0-1, terrible start. No, but really, pre-season is all done for evaluation purposes, which means even as I break down what I think I saw in the game, it's important to note that they mentioned this on the broadcast last night, where they'll do things in games specifically to help them in the season. So they won't maybe even run their best plays. Maybe they want to look at specific things. Maybe they want to look at specific players in specific roles. So it's hard to be too critical of anyone, or again, too positive about anyone. But it's still nice to see the players back out there in that Eagles uniform after obviously such a great year last year. So what I'm going to do is, when I do a normal preseason, when I do normal football breakdown, I will look at the All-22. So I'll be able to bring a little bit more analysis, I hope, anyway, with things that I've seen. With preseason, it's a little bit harder, especially as Mayock's doing it live and he gets almost better footage than we do after the game. So I'll try and basically make a note of things that I think I saw, firstly on offence and secondly on defence, in no particular order, just a bunch of random takeaways that stood out and things that I liked and things that I didn't like, I guess. So starting with the offence, first thing I really liked that I saw in the game was that Ajayi run on first down when the Eagles were backed up at their goal line. They ran something we didn't see a lot last year, which was inside zone counter. So the quarterback looked like he was going one way, then sort of came back to Ajayi, and just the blocking on that play was really, really good. But it forced Ajayi to make the linebacker miss one-on-one, and he did, and I think got about 20 yards on that play. So I really liked to see that play. Another thing I looked for was Dallas Goedert had a really key backside block on that play, which is good to see. And just early on, I think this just shows the variety of the Eagles run game, and I love watching the Eagles run game on tape because it's so varied. But early on, we saw that inside zone counter, we saw standard inside zone, we saw standard outside zone, we saw a tight end trap play with Dallas Goedert coming across the formation and blocking the nose tackle, we saw a wham play, we saw power, and this was all, I think, within the first quarter and a bit. So the idea that in pre-season Doug's just going to run the old Chip Kelly days of inside zone, outside zone and sweep. Luckily those days are long gone. The Eagles run game is very varied and it's going to continue this year. Something else I thought I saw at the running back position was Corey Clement looking a little bit quicker than he did last year, which is good to see. There was an outside zone run where he realised he could get outside and beat the linebackers to the edge, which showed some speed. He also had a really nice juke where he beat someone, and a really good play after the catch on third down where he powered through a linebacker after catching it. If you haven't listened to my episode on Corey Clement, the first Locked in the Eagles Film Room episode I'd done, go back and listen to it, because I think a lot of the things that I spoke about Clement, about his success on outside zone and his natural hands and his ability to break tackles straight after the catch because of how natural his hands are, I think you saw that yesterday. Let's talk about Dallas Goedert then. He's the player that's got everyone excited. Don't want to talk too much about him. I think it's difficult to not be excited, but also I want to sort of calm down a little bit, as I'm still unsure this year where Goddard's targets will come from. But I love that his first catch was on a, it's a three-level stretch play with run action and a rollout. And the Eagles ran this a couple of times last year, and I absolutely love this play, where the middle of the three receivers, or tight end in this case, will break off his route halfway through. It looks like he's running a crossing route, and then he'll come back almost basically the other half of the field. Needs good protection to work, and also needs the receiver or the tight end to make the safety sort of look the wrong way, commit him to the fact he's running a crossing route when he's actually not indeed. And Goddard done that perfectly. He looked in as if he was running a crossing route, the safety bit. Then he easily turned out, and it was a pretty easy throw for Sudfield to make. As I mentioned earlier on, Goddard had a couple of key blocks as well. There was a backside block on that inside zone counter. He actually blocked a nose tackle once, which is pretty cool, on a little wham play. And there was also another wham play where he shoved the defensive tackle into the ground. And he also blocked a linebacker on a split zone run. Actually, I didn't mention that when they were running inside zone. So you can see early on then, not only going to catch the ball, he's being used to block a defensive tackle, a linebacker, and a nose tackle, and also a linebacker again in the backside of that inside zone counterplay. So the Eagles are trusting him to do more than they were Trey Burton, actually, in the run game, which is interesting, whether they sort of see him as a hybrid between doing the job that Brent Celek done last year and what Trey Burton can give you in the receiving game. If he can do both of that, then Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz are going to be an incredible 1-2 punch going forward. Don't need to talk too much about Nate Sudfeld and the interception, because Mark broke it down really well on the broadcast. He was just fooled by the cover 2 trap. He thought it was cover 3. That's something he's just got to clean up. He's got to speed up his progressions. I thought he threw the ball quite well. He's got the best of arms, but his arm is fine for a backup quarterback. He had a nice touchdown pass to Goddard, where he showed that poise that you want to see, but I think he's late to a lot. He's really got to speed up his progressions and eliminate what isn't there pre-snap better, so he can get to his check down quicker. There was a couple of check downs, one to Corey Clement that I remember in the first quarter, I think, where he was just too late getting there, and it meant Clement couldn't get any yards after the catch. You've got to be able to see your first and second read. If they're not there, check it down, and you just got to do everything a little bit quicker. Sudfeld, I think, has just got to speed up everything, really. A couple of people I mentioned as well I wanted to look at on the offensive line. I wanted to look at Samalu. Again, I'm recording this on Saturday, as apparently he's had two bad practice snaps today as a centre, and he clearly struggles that aspect of his game. But I do really like him as a sixth offensive lineman. He played that role last year well, sort of as a tight end. Or as a sixth offensive lineman, and he played that well last night again. I thought he was good. Another couple of other offensive linemen I was looking at was Halepute Vaitai, or Big V, because I wanted to see how he looked, just because there's so many different of opinions out there on him. I'm sort of in the middle of the camp. I think he potentially is a starting left tackle. I'm not entirely sold or entirely sure how good he is, but I thought he had a good game last night. I thought in the run game he was good, and he was very, very sound in pass protection. So I think that's good to see. The other note on offense was a Shelton Gibson catch, which was really good to see downfield. The Eagles are sort of loaded at receiver this year, I think, because I think Mike Wallace is going to be good. But it was good to see, although I will say he wasn't actually pressed. Although the cornerback lined up in press position, he sort of bailed and turned it into a foot race, which I have no idea why you would want to do that against Shelton Gibson. But the cornerback decided that's how we do it. And that was a good throw by Nate Sudfeld. And that was also one where he was quick to make a decision, if you see the... The way the film is, Sudfeld saw we had one-on-one coverage and went straight to that throw. So that was good to see. So overall, yeah, I was pretty happy with the offense. I don't have any real takes on the fourth running back position. I really don't know what will happen there. I imagine Smallwood will make the team. Pumphrey missed out. Seems like he's got a little bit of a lower leg injury, which could keep him out for some time. So we'll have to see there. I think I quite like Josh Adams. I don't particularly like Wendell Smallwood or Pumphrey, but I wouldn't be surprised if Smallwood's value on special teams and the fact that he knows the offense means he makes a team, and then they put Josh Adams onto the practice squad. So nothing else really stood out for me on offense at all, to be honest. They were the main things that I was looking out for. On defense, I don't even know why we need to talk about Fletcher Cox, but we will anyway, just because he is so good and it's so fun to watch him. That first, the second down, on David DeCastro, who is a very good right guard. It was just unbelievable how easily he beat him. He got his hands in early, had a little grip move, just completely destroyed him. Then on the very next play, he chased down a screen pass, and you can just hear Mike Mack and commentary just absolutely buzzing over this guy. Because it's what you want to see. You want to see someone who is phenomenal, but continues to play at a really, really high level, which is what you want to see. He also had another great snap later on in the game. I'm not sure why he was playing, to be honest. Where he just completely pushed the centre straight back into the quarterback with just brute strength, really. He is such a freakish combination of size, strength and athleticism, and he's going to have an absolutely massive year, so that's going to be good to see, because the Eagles will need it without Tim Jernigan. I wanted to watch a lot of Derek Barnett. Sadly, I don't think he played many snaps at all. I did notice on the third down play of the first drive, he had a nice little outside rush, but there was nothing major to see from him, sadly. So hopefully we'll see a little bit more of him in the second game. As I mentioned, it's pre-season as well, so we don't know why, but I like to think coaches don't do things completely out of the blue for no reason. So the Eagles actually had a 7-man blitz where they went zero coverage, just 4 players back in man-to-man coverage, which is something you rarely see the Eagles do. So that's something to keep an eye out for. Maybe the Eagles have a few more aggressive blitz packages this year. Again, who knows, it's only pre-season, but that was a little note I noticed. On to the quarterbacks, going to talk about them first. Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby looked fine. There was a nice little play by Jalen Mills earlier on where he blew up a screen, and that's something Jalen Mills is really good at. And in the NFL today, it's such a short passing game. There's a lot of those quick bubble screens, those quick throws where you just throw it straight to the receiver if the cornerback's in off coverage, And the fact Jalen Mills can come downhill on those plays and blow up those plays early is a really good thing. And people will say, yeah, just like a safety. And yeah, well, it's good to have a cornerback that has that skill set too. So it's good that he can do that. Didn't really see much from Sidney Jones, but I thought he looked pretty feisty. He looked fast. Actually, that's one thing I will say. He looks really quick. He looks healthy out there. There's a couple of tackles where he flew down and made them. Yes, one of them was the helmet to whatever penalty, which he did sort of lean in. But he'll learn from that. Being another good tackle in the running game on third and long, where him and Jordan Hicks teamed up on the tight end. But overall, I just liked the way he moved. Didn't really see him in coverage, wasn't really tested, but he looked very fluid to me. He looked healthy. The other cornerback that stand out, I think you saw that in the game, was Bosby, who had a really, he did have a really bad missed tackle. But he made some really good plays where he drove forward very, very well on the football. I will say that I'd be a little bit careful about who he's going up against, because Mayock was very, very excited about how he handled that double move from the wide receiver after closing on a few balls. And all I would say is, yes, he handled it very well, but it was a pretty terrible double move by the wide receiver, and he did not sell the comeback at all well. So it's no surprise, really, that Bosby handled it there. Razzle Douglas is the interesting one to talk about. I was never a fan of the draft pick. I think if you follow me on Twitter, I wouldn't say I hated Razzle Douglas. I just saw him as more of a full fifth round cornerback. But he is aggressive, and he's very, very good when the ball's in the air. So you wouldn't expect him to get beat twice with the ball in the air. But I will say this. He tries to get in front of wide receivers rather than stay with them all time, and that means he will get interceptions, but also mean he will get beat at times. He is that kind of player. The first one was a little bit awkward. He sort of stumbled, but he didn't look like he was in a very good position, and Juju played that really well. So that's something he needs to learn. He needs to be a little bit deeper. And I think the second one was the same. I think he tried on the second touchdown he gave up. He sort of, it was a difficult route to cover, but he did try and get in front of the receiver. You can see he wanted to make an interception or make a play on the ball, and maybe it would have been safer to be a little bit deeper and try and break that ball up or hit the wide receiver as he goes to catch it rather than go for the pick. So a couple of learning curves in that game. He does need to play better. Again, I didn't really ever see him as a full-time starter. I do think Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby and Sidney Jones will all be better than him, but we'd like him to continue to develop so he can add an option outside. Also, though, the interception he had was absolutely insane. That was such a good play. It was an absolute perfect job of staying deep. Only had two routes to cover, basically, in cover three. He stayed deep this time, so there may have been a chance the quarterback to fit the ball over the top, but it would have been unlikely, so he took the shorter route, and Douglas just timed it absolutely perfectly. He handled that play so well. That was a really, really good rep, so that was really good to see. I had the linebacker battle. I don't really know where I am on that yet. I'm not sure about Nate Gary still. I think Grugia Hill looks better to me. I think he just looks quicker. He looks a better athlete. He had a really good play on a speed option play. I think he's better at getting off blocks than Nate Gary is at this point, which is something you want to see from your linebackers. However, I will say there was a play that Grugia Hill made where he made a tackle on, I think it was Josh Dobbs, the Steelers quarterback, but he actually bit on the rollout. He sort of thought it was a running play and ended up recovering, but you don't want to see a linebacker bite on those plays. So maybe as he's learning the position, obviously a former safety, we'll see him improving that. But I still like him a little bit more than Gary at this point in time. I just think he looks a better athlete to me. He moves a little bit better. So it's good to see. It's not the most important position in the Eagles' defense by any means, but I think it's good if Grugia Hill can earn that position. But we'll see, he's a long, long way to go. Yeah, it was also really good to see Jordan Hicks back on the field. Not that he particularly done a lot yesterday, but whenever I can see Jordan Hicks on the field, it always reminds me of how good of a player he is and also just how fluid of an athlete he is. So that was really good to see. Last but not least, let's look at the defensive line. I had someone tweet me asking me to look at Josh Sweat. I did actually look at him anyway. To be honest, I didn't see a great deal from Josh Sweat in this game. He had a couple of good reps where he got pressure, I think, on one play. And he does show that explosion, but I still think he sort of showed some of the same issues he had in college, where he needs to work on disengaging blockers when they get their hand on his chest. It's something he needs to get better at. Also, defensive tackle wise, didn't see much from Vio, wasn't really watching him a lot on the garter. Was watching Elijah Qualls because I wanted to see him play. I thought, again, he had a couple of good reps. He's very explosive, and he showed that in preseason last year. He had one really good ball rush where he pushed the quarterback back and he teamed up with Stephen Means to get a sort of disruption on the quarterback when he made the throw. And also a couple of other plays where he just sort of explodes off the ball. I think he does have some work to do with gap discipline, and sometimes he gets moved around a little bit too much and can't make a play in the run game. But I do think Qualls has got something there, so I hope he makes the team, and I think he's got a chance to play. It's also interesting to see that Michael Bennett was moved as defensive tackle. I think that's something we'll see a lot next year on third and long, which will be a very, very good package, especially if Barnett can turn up. But the one player I wanted to talk about actually is someone who maybe won't make the team because of Josh Wett, but I find Stephen Means a too good of a player to not make this team. I think if you can't get Stephen Means on your team, then it's a really big shame, because there's a couple of good reps yesterday where you just saw. He's quick, he's got good burst, he managed to disrupt the Ferrari, he always seems to find the way to get to the quarterback. PFF charted him as one hit and three hurries, which is really good to see. There was a really good rush where he broke down the pocket and with Elijah Crawls that I mentioned before. I just think Stephen Means is a good player. There was also a play where he actually went back into coverage and made a tackle. He just looks like a good athlete, someone who always seems to set up in pre-season, always seems to deliver when he gets the chance. And he just seems a very sort of complete player and someone who always gives it 100% on every single snap, which is why I think he stands out. And I know the Eagles have got a lot of pass rushers, but some of them aren't too young. So I think it'd be good to have Barnett, Means and Josh Wett on this team going forward. So when eventually Graham and Michael Bennett and Chris Long can no longer do it, you have got those three guys there. I think right now it's hard for Means to make the team because of how many defensive linemen they've got. But I think if he doesn't make it, he is someone in a couple of years when Graham's moved on, when Bennett's moved on, when Chris Long's no longer there, that the Eagles might look back and see Stephen Means doing quite well for another team as a sub package pass rusher and think, how the hell did that guy get away? So yeah, overall, mainly positive things to break down from that first preseason game, because I'm not going to focus hugely on the negatives because it is the first preseason game. To be honest, as I mentioned before, preseason is all about evaluation. I don't actually learn a lot myself personally. I think especially about the All-22, it can be really hard. But it is good to look at a couple of players rather than just seeing the practice reports. I think you can learn a little bit about how they're going to use players. And yeah, give me a shout out on Twitter at JohnnyPage9 if there's anyone you want me to focus on in the next preseason game. I sort of try and watch the game from a general point of view and just write down anything that I notice. Anyone you want me to focus on, this game I looked at Big V, for example, and I wanted to look at Barnett, but sadly I couldn't. But if there is anyone you want to see more of, let me know and I will make sure that I will focus on them for the second preseason game. So yeah, looking forward to it. I've just noticed as I'm scrolling through my timeline that Dallas Goedert went off with an injury in today's training camp, so I'm hoping that's nothing. But yeah, he had a very good first game, which is good to see. I think he's going to allow the Eagles to do a lot more if he can bring that role, sort of a Brent Celek and Trey Burson sort of hybrid. I think that will be good to see. But yeah, this will be it for next week. Until next week, when I break down the next Eagles preseason game. Hope you enjoyed this. Please let me know any feedback on Twitter at JohnnyPage9. Yes, the 9 is there for Nick Foles. So go Eagles, and hopefully the second preseason game ends in a better scoreline, because as we know, you do not want to be 0-2 going into the all-important third preseason game.